Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Rise and grind, that's the motto for a lot of us working stiffs, doing the best to bring home the bacon, but it's not always easy. And we've all said at one point to ourselves that we are sick of our jobs. But can the stress of your job actually make you sick? And what do you do about that? Well, we have some ideas coming your way tonight. My guests are Meredith Moore Crosby, author of Getting Unstuck, A Guide to Moving Your Career Forward, and Deborah Owens, career expert and founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. Lines are open if you have a comment or question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Meredith, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Yes, Deborah, always good to see you.
It's great to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year on this March 1st. Let's talk about how your job can affect your health in a negative way. You have some experience with that, Deborah.
Yeah, this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I was in a great job. I had a great income. I had a great boss. But the lifestyle and the stress and the toll it was taking on my body actually manifested itself physically. And so some of the things that you'll see are you're not sleeping. Grinding your teeth. You wake up with chest tightness, heart palpitations. For me, it became joint pain and fatigue and to the point where every system in my body was not working properly.
Really?
Really, to the point that I was so busy in my job that I didn't have time to go to the doctor because mm-hmm. I was in the middle of a big launch and I had a key leadership role, and I just couldn't do that. And when I look back, I think about how crazy I must have sounded to doctors because, and I think this is very typical, when people are high performers, they're ambitious, they want to advance their career, we tend to put self-care off. And I remember at one point I had to go to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, I think you need to take some time off. That's the first thing you need to do. And I said, well, and this was in September. I said, well, I can't do that right now, but I can take some time off in December. So can you kind of put me back together right now? And then in December,
put you back together.
I'll take some days off. Mm-hmm. And so what I proceeded to do was find other doctors who I thought would be more aligned with the outcome I wanted because I wanted to manage it. Make a long story short, I did take 2 weeks off. That 2 weeks turned into a year and a half, and I actually never went back to my job.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
It was one of the toughest decisions, so I think we're going to talk about some of the things you can do.
Eventually, we'll get to that.
But I just want to say that I recognize it's very difficult. You can, on the outside looking in, you go, well, it just leave your job. But there are a lot of reasons why people stay mm-hmm. in their jobs.
Meredith, you were nodding your head when she was explaining what was happening.
Yeah, I actually had a similar situation when I was about 25, and I was working for the president of McDonald's at the time. Mm-hmm. I had just been appointed to be a speechwriter, mm-hmm. and I started to have triple vision. It wasn't mm-hmm. even double vision, it was triple. And I remember telling my dad and him saying that you should be three times as early for work. I was like, that seems like horrible medical advice.
Right, exactly.
And we were coming back. We had been on a tour of all 50 states just mm-hmm. about, and we were coming back from California, and I was having to write his speech with one eye closed because of the multiple versions I was seeing. And similar to what you said, I said, oh, no, I'm not going to go to the doctor. We got to take another flight. And luckily, you know, I worked for somebody who cared enough about me to say, go see my physician. You cannot get back on the jet until you go see my physician. And it ended up that I had a brain tumor, and they had never seen anything like it. It ended up that I had not been sleeping for 6 weeks, but I was working so hard I honestly didn't notice it.
So let me ask, because obviously both of your situations were serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fine now, but how do we know, for example, you know, not everybody who has a brain tumor gets one as a result of job stress. You know, not everyone who takes 2 weeks off from work never goes back. So how do you know whether or not these are job related? What are the signs that we're talking about something that is specifically related to the job?
Well, Harold, I don't know if you ever know if it's specifically job related, but I think my message to people would be listen to your body. Your body does not lie to you. And I think we know when something is off. And to be quite honest, Harold, I think we know when it's job related. Now, we may tell ourselves something different because we don't want that to be the truth. But we know, you know, on Sunday, if you start getting a headache at 7 o'clock as you start preparing for your next day, or your stomach hurts, when the only time you can seem to get any sleep is Friday night because you know you don't have to go to work on Saturday, when you have gone for long periods of time and you're not getting any sleep, or you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're stressed, you're writing down your to-do list, the signs are everywhere. And what I always say to people, heed those warnings. Your body gives you a heads up. And when you don't respond appropriately or in a timely manner, your body will make the decision for you and it will shut down and you'll be forced. So I would just say listen to your body.
Yeah, absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your job. You may feel sick of your job, but can your job make you sick? And when do you know? What are the signs that maybe it's time for you to make a change? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Meredith, when you are in one of those high-powered positions, or even if you're not, do you talk to human resources about how the job is impacting you? I would imagine that some people would be reticent to do that.
Yeah, I never did. I think that you have to decide for yourself what actions you're willing to take and what are things that you have to own versus what the company can own. So even if I'd gone to human resources, them suggesting to me that I sleep more wouldn't have, that's not their role. So if your work stress is caused by a bad boss who needs some coaching, by a job that honestly should be performed by more people than are assigned to it, then human resources might be your best resource, pun intended. But if it really is, like in my case, I was on planes, 3-4 planes a day. That was a health awareness that I did not have of the implications of just being up and down in the air so much and what they can do for your body. So there wasn't so much HR as much as I needed to make different decisions.
Mm-hmm. So I would say to people out there that HR is a place that you can go to. Now, it depends on the relationship you have with your HR department. We all need to know the culture in which we work. One of the things we talk about at the Corporate Alley Cat all the time is having strategic relationships in the workplace. And I always say everybody needs a friend in HR. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to our HR partner who was a friend, a work friend, and I was very honest. And she said, listen, you need to, it was a Wednesday, she said, because I actually decided to take time off, and she said, listen, it's Wednesday, you need to be gone by Friday. So she gave me the push that I needed. So I do think you have to reach out, and to get the best quality help, you have to be a little vulnerable in this situation. You have to let people know what's going on, because personally, I believe that's how people end up dying.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is the stress on your job causing you to be sick, or are you just sick of your job? Let me go to Ms. Harris calling from D.C. Ms. Harris, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling because I work a 12-hour shift, and it's very stressful, and the shift is very demanding, and it does causes. It's high stressful, and it does cause illness. It really does. And some of the illnesses you spoke of, the teeth grinding, you're not getting the proper sleep that you need. I was on a midnight shift for 12 hours, and switched over to the day shift for 12 hours. And either way, it's very stressful. And I was losing sleep. I would wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, let me ask you, Ms. Harris, because it does sound like you are being impacted by your guests. Do you have a plan? And if not, our guests may have a plan for you. What do you plan to do to address that?
Well, I plan to retire this year.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Your thoughts about that, Meredith?
No, I think if you have the option, you know, the best choice is always to remove yourself from the situation. If you can't change the situation, then removing yourself is always a great way to do it. So I'm glad to hear you got a plan.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say for anybody in any situation like that, when you say the job is really stressful, to make sure you understand what piece of it is stressful to determine what can be changed and what can't be changed. The other thing is, as I alluded to, human resources, but different companies have wellness divisions now and the whole bit. Find out the resources that are available to your organization. One of the things I did was I took short-term leave, and I'm going to say something, it may not be politically correct, but I think Black people are very uncomfortable about taking leave, like a stress leave, unless our head is wrapped up in a, you know, we've had a brain tumor, our legs are broken. But you pay into those benefits. And I've tried to counsel people many times who were doing harm to themselves, take some time off. Your company allows for that. They don't want you working if you're harming yourself. But many people choose not to do that. So I would say take advantage first, or identify what resources that are available in-house, because there are a lot of companies who have very sophisticated now wellness programs.
Okay. Ms. Harris, good luck to you, and good luck to you in your retirement. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Charlene, calling from Southern Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Charlene, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi. I actually was in a job that I had become very ill, had lost use of my right arm, thinking it's just from the job using a computer. And I just pretty much had worn down so much, having a fibroid surgery over and over again from the stress. And I had even had internal bleeding into my stomach due to the stress. And finally going to the doctor, and what it was, all the placed on me, and they would never hire additional people. But then when I went out, they hired five people. Then when I went back after 6 months of being ill and recovering, then they let everybody go.
Let me stop you there, because see, that goes, I think, to your point, Deborah, mm-hmm. about taking leave and the impact that your absence may have on you on the upside, but also the impact that it may have on the job that you're taking leave from. Mm-hmm. Your job could very well change or even disappear. And I think a lot of people are concerned about that.
So those things are possible. In most companies, there are some policies and guidelines around taking leave. You shouldn't fire somebody because they got sick. Now, I've heard of people doing that, but usually there are guidelines and policies around that. But again, I want to say your first priority needs to be your health. Nobody's, you know, if you die on the job, nobody's going to say, oh, what a martyr they are. They saved the organization. It just doesn't happen like that. Literally, right. When I took leave, I was, oh, my gosh, you know, who's going to do this? It was a $66 billion company. There are a gazillion people who could do my job. And as soon as I took leave, they didn't miss a beat, and they had an interim person. So I don't think you should focus so much on that. I think your first priority should be your health. You may want to check out what those benefits are.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the other thing is, oftentimes, I'm going to say this probably again, some people aren't going to like this. If you're not a good performer and you take leave, don't give them a reason or make it easy for them to get rid of you, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes those things can be intertwined. But I think your first priority has to be your health. But there are policies and guidelines around those, and you can find out what those are through your most companies now have portals through HR, and there's also employee relations. If your job is really doing harm and you don't feel comfortable going to HR, you can go to employee relations, and their job should be to help you find a solution that works for you and allows you to be productive in the workplace.
Need to take a quick break. By the way, there aren't gazillions of people who can do your job. Nobody can do a job like Deborah Owens.
Well, that is true.
I need to take a break. If you have a comment or you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Linda calling from Maryland, we're going to talk to you next. Also, Ed Hall calling from D.C., you're going to be after Linda. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141. Still taking calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your job. Can the stress of your job make you sick? And what do you do about that? Well, we have some ideas for you. My guests are Meredith Moore Crosby, author of Getting Unstuck, A Guide to Moving Your Career Forward, and Deborah Owens, career expert and founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. If you have any comments or questions about your job, whether or not your job is making you sick, maybe it's time for you to transition out of your job. How do you plan that? We're going to be talking about that as well. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Linda. Linda, thanks for hanging on, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, the stress of my job has definitely made me sick. I've been having all of the symptoms that were mentioned and more than that, especially with grinding my teeth. I've ground my caps off my teeth. It's just so severe. And I'm currently on leave right now from my job. And I've only been on leave for a week. I'm going back next week on a modified schedule, but it's been so peaceful. I haven't been feeling sick at night, anticipating going to work the next day. I haven't been grinding my teeth like that, and it's just been so different, so peaceful that I can't explain it. It was such a godsend for me to make the decision to take the break from work. And
okay.
I know what I want to do. I need to leave the company, and it's just been very difficult for me to find a job. I've been looking for 2-3 years now.
Well, let me see what Meredith has to say about that, because Linda, as she said, she's on leave and she's thinking about leaving the company. Is this the time to start looking? And if so, how does she start looking?
Yeah. You know, the best time to start looking is before you need to make that change. But I think while you have that time on your leave and you're in a place where you can be away from that stress, you can really reconnect with what it is you want to do, what your values are, and most importantly, what are the resources that you were bringing to that job? Because there was a reason they hired you in the first place. So in my book, I have a piece where you walk through a week of possibilities and you really talk about how much you need to make financially. What are the relationships that you have that might be underutilized? Is your education aligned with what you're doing, or is that something you need to look at? And to make a real plan for yourself, Linda, so that you are thoughtful in this time. Very often when we make decisions when we're at the bottom of the well, they're not the best decisions, right? And so we want you to make a decision that is going to literally move your career forward. So giving your time the space, giving yourself the time while you're in this space to think about what it is that you want to have happen next and where was that stress coming from, to Deborah's point earlier, in the job, to make sure that you don't leap into something just as bad or worse than where you've been. I think the last thing is, you know, as you think about going back to work, you know, you are in charge of that narrative. So really being thoughtful about how do you want to position whatever transition you are putting yourself through right now, and being able to share that in a way that you don't feel like you become stigmatized while you make the decisions that are best for your health and your life.
Any thoughts quickly, Deborah?
No, I totally agree with her, and I do want to say be clear about where the stress is coming from, because you can find yourself in the same, different company, same environment. Mm-hmm. So is it the environment? Is it the boss? Mm-hmm. Is it the type of work you're doing? Is it something that feels like there's a violation of your personal values that just is stressing you out? But you need to be really clear on that. And I would say absolutely begin reaching out to people. But since she said it's taken her, she's been looking for a job for 2 or 3 years, which is a long time. I'm not sure what's going on with the job search, but I would say you might need to get some help if it's taken 2 or 3 years. Right. So if it's taken that long, then you need to also have a plan, to your point, when you go back, what needs to change in the workplace so that you can be healthy for the period of time that you're there. And also, I don't know the company, also explore if there are other options within that company. Are there other divisions? Are there other teams? Are there other departments? Are there other roles? Begin talking to people internally, because quickly, we automatically say we've got to leave. You don't always have to leave your company. You might just need to leave that micro environment. You may need to be on a different team.
Thank you so much, Linda. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ed Hall calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ed. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
Yes, I just want to make a quick comment on what she said about listening to your body. If that is nothing but the truth. I used to go to work so much to the point I had to start listening to my body. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize that this company is going to run with you or without you. And if you don't listen to your body, once you're gone, they'll send you away with a good burial. But while you're there, sometimes they just don't appreciate the good work you do. So you got to listen to your body so you can be able to function in your personal life.
Okay. Well said, Ed. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dolores calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Dolores. I've been there. I have had to walk away from 2 paying jobs because each one of them, I couldn't sleep at night. If I had anxiety and bronchitis attack at the same time. And when I realized that I was getting sick, when I went to the doctor told me that I need you to stop and I need you to quit today. And I was like, where am I going to go? How am I going to do this? I went to my HR and I sat down and I explained to them I couldn't keep this up. And I had to walk away, and there's this trust. I had to really trust God that I knew I was going to be okay. And I was. The very next 2 or 3 months, I found a job.
Okay. Is that a healthier environment?
Yes and no, but I had to learn my triggers. I had to understand what made me trigger. And I started working with my triggers. And that means if you have to go to a psychiatrist, if that means you have to talk to somebody, then you do that so you learn those triggers. And then you deal with those triggers. So the next job you get, you know what you're looking for before it happens.
I see.
And not when you get there.
You know, Harold, I love what this caller said, because one of the things that she brought to mind for me is that you have to think about what role are you playing in creating your own stress in the workplace, right? Are you one of those people who doesn't want to delegate? Are you a perfectionist? Are you the person who never says no, no matter how much work they give you? Are you the person who doesn't have any boundaries? Do you need to work on some of your soft skills and your collaboration skills?
What's a soft skill?
A soft skill is one of those skills, let's say, how you communicate with someone. Self-awareness, a level of self-awareness. It's those skills that are separate from those technical skills, right? And those are really the skills that can make or break your career, right? So when she said she talked with HR, you do have to make sure that you are sharing a story in a way that it's beneficial for the organization as well, right? So in some instances, you may have to propose a plan. They may not come up with this plan. You may have to say, hey, listen, here's what's going on. It's impacting my health, whatever story you want to share. Here's a way I think we can work around this. And you show them that they're not going to lose any productivity and they're going to have a healthier employee on their hands. And the other thing I want to say, when people switch jobs, one of the things that's so important is you need to look at the benefits. So somebody gives you an extra $5,000 or $10,000, but you have 1 week of short-term leave versus 6 months of 100% pay, 6 months leave. Those are big differences. So I really want to encourage people who have had this experience to make sure when you go into that next job that you take a look at the health benefits that that company offers.
It's something to think about. Dolores, thanks for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Goetz, calling from Reston. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. I think that, as I said, I think the topic that you're presenting is extremely relevant. For me as a psychologist, I see many patients that I'm treating who are experiencing, you know, chronic stress, burnout related to work. I always tell my patients, you know, there are three different approaches to work. You know, you have a job, you have a career, you have a vocation. I think your attitude and outlook towards your work really does impact what you bring to your work and how much you invest. I think there are certain personality characteristics that lead people to become vulnerable to chronic stress and burnout, like type A personalities, altruistic people who are very, very giving. They work really hard. And then, of course, you know, the people who like the people that you're interviewing, I mean, their work is more than just a job, so they invest so much time. Okay, then the fallout is, you know, you have these people who inevitably start to experience somatic symptoms. We call it, like, somatizing. They become stressed. They don't start to feel well. And then, you know, the all the time they're spending at work then impacts their health.
Yeah.
It could even cause, you know, like, anxiety, depression. And then as the people that you're interviewing say, like, they start to subjugate themselves to the organization.
Well, Dr. Goetz, let me see what Meredith has to say about it. You did say quite a bit, you gave us a lot to digest. Your thoughts about that, Meredith, because one of the things that we didn't necessarily discuss was the psychological impact of job stress. What do you tell your clients about, you know, about that? I mean, do they need to go and see the likes of a Dr. Goetz, or do they just transition out? Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, and I have to say it resonates. I'm a perfectionist. I'm definitely type A, and I struggle with anxiety. And so one of the things that I even practice for myself is just reminding yourself that everybody at work is not on your team. Right. So while I appreciate that you have HR and you have people there, but their responsibility, who they are paid for, is the company. So their interest is not in your long-term well-being, in your health. That is not their responsibility. Their responsibility is for you to come to work or somebody who can do that job. So looking at that team to understand, do you need a psychologist? Do you need a mentor, somebody who's navigated this career and can help you with what is next? Do you need a coach? Do you need somebody who can help you with your confidence or your communications so that you can do a better job of advocating for yourself at work? But the thing that I tell my clients, who are all high-performing, high-achieving women of color, is that you have to decide at the beginning, what is it that only you can do? And you have to be able to release the rest. So there are things that only a psychologist can help you do. I can't unlock my mind. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself really struggling with negative thoughts, then that might be the best choice for you to go to. Now, I think that there is a stigma when you go through the company and ask for those type of benefits. So I think you do have to be cognizant of your level in the organization, what is the culture of that organization, because what you don't want to do is further disenfranchise yourself right, from your future advancement in the organization. So finding out, and a great question to ask when they have these open leadership forums, ask the senior leaders, you know, what do you do for your mental health? How do you manage your stress? How do you deal with burnout? Because if you're dealing with it at whatever level of the organization, I assure you, the CEO is also dealing with stress. Mm-hmm. So opening up the doors for that conversation to talk about how it's not affecting people at one level, but how it's affecting the productivity of your organization, and being able to connect the challenge you're dealing with to the financial implications will help you build a business case, not only for yourself to invest and decide if I do need to put the money into getting a psychologist, I need to put money into a coach, or if you're at the place where free resources, a book, a magazine is enough to help you figure out what you want to do next.
Well said. Dr. Getz, thank you for sharing with us this evening. We really appreciate your phone call. I need to take a break. When we come back, how to transition out of your job, and what if you are the job? What if you're an entrepreneur? Are the rules different? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about your job. Is the stress of your job making you sick? Is it time for you to transition? Before I talk about transitions, we've been talking about jobs, but I would argue that there are many entrepreneurs, whether people are doing startups or whether or not they've been in the big chair for years and years. And if you are doing that, many of those entrepreneurial pursuits come with a great deal of stress because you may not be able to take off, Deborah, mm-hmm. from corporate alley cat
this when is a great question.
When you because if you take off, you're not making money.
Well, so listen, that's a very good question. I actually had that situation. About a year and a half ago. Now, it wasn't me, but my father became critically ill, and it was one of those things where one day your life is fine, the next day your father's in a coma. And for me, that is why I became an entrepreneur, because I wanted to design and control the way I lived my life, and I wanted to be able to focus on the things that were a priority for me. So yes, is it difficult when you're an entrepreneur? Absolutely. But my father was in critical condition. It wasn't a thought. I put that I'm out on a medical family emergency, and I remained in Kentucky for a little over 3 weeks. So that is one of the benefits. But listen, being an entrepreneur can be lonely. It can be isolating. It can be stressful. It can be joyous. It can be all of those things. And some of the things that I do to combat it, because I experience all of that as well, is that I have an accountability partner that who's also another entrepreneur that we talk every Friday nonstop. Even if we can't be accountable and we didn't do any of the things, we talk about the why behind that.
What is an accountability partner?
So an accountability partner is someone who helps you stay focused on your goals. So let's say Meredith has this book, How to Advance Your Career. So maybe your goal is, listen, I'm going to reach out to these people. I am going to update my resume. I'm going to practice interviewing, whatever it is. Then I would share that with Meredith and say, this is what I'm going to do by the time we get back together next week.
So let me be clear, because I'm not familiar with that phrase. Is that somebody that works within corporate alley cat, or is this one of your girlfriends? This is somebody you went to college with?
It can be anybody. It can be anybody. Now, at the corporate alley cat, in our membership community, I will assign people accountability partners, but Meredith could be my accountability partner. She's an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. We have a similar environment. So the goal is to encourage each other. Even when it gets tough, you need somebody who says, I know it's lonely. I know that client pissed you off. I know that this deal fell through. So those are some of the things. And also, I want to go back to something you said about the psychological thing, mm-hmm. because I'm a big believer that some people do need to talk to people. Some of my clients, I'm like, you need to talk to someone who does this for a living, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. But I also want to encourage people, just because you've left the job doesn't mean that situation is over. I believe I have a term. I'm not a doctor. So a friend said I shouldn't use this term, but everybody knows I'm not a doctor. And I call it corporate trauma.
Okay.
And it can hang with you. So if you've been in a bad situation that it caused stress or you feel undervalued, just because you leave that job doesn't mean that situation is necessarily over. And you also want to make sure you don't take that bad experience into that next role, you know, looking at everybody with a side eye as if they're out to get you. So it's really, really important that you get out of your comfort zone a little bit and get a little vulnerable, recognize when you need help, and also ask for help. And I also have a strong support system.
Okay.
Which I wouldn't be able to do this without it, because everybody has up and down days. And it's even more important when you're the main person bringing in the revenue of your organization.
During these last few minutes, I do want to talk about transitioning out. Once you realize that this is not the job, the career, or as our friend Dr. Getz said, even the vocation. So how do you begin the transition? What does that look like if you're doing a wholesale transition?
When you say wholesale transition.
In other words, leaving this one career, and let us assume that you do have the skills to do something else, to recreate or to involve yourself in a completely different field. But how do you go about doing that? How do you begin to make the plan, not only on paper, but in your head?
Yeah, I think so much of it starts with your confidence and really believing, first of all, that you can even do this thing, that you can do something different than what you've been doing. For a number of people, they've been doing this for years. So having the confidence that your skills are transferable into either another organization or another role. You know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was that you don't tell the job you're leaving that you're ready to go until you know where you're going. And so I think sometimes people announce a little too early and start giving these indicators. Oh, you know, you do this one more time and I'm done. That's not a thing to say at work.
Especially with the finger in the neck.
Right.
Right. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Unless you want them to make the decision for you. You know, so I think being very cognizant about who, again, going back to that trusted team and remembering everybody at work is not your friend. So putting on paper, you know, who are the people that you will tell when you get ready, but then also starting a very strategic search and looking at what are the skill sets that you have, what are the experiences and the education that you've gained, even in being in that job. And then while you're still there, collecting testimonials of what have you achieved, putting numbers around it. So it's not just I led this initiative, but I helped the company gain revenue of X percent, or I was on time, how many days. But understanding what's of value to an employer and then leading with that as you go out there. I think another thing that we don't do enough of is networking. And while you're in that kind of transition space, talking to people, and very often I get folks who say, well, I'm embarrassed, I don't want people to know, or I don't want to tell them yet that I'm thinking of it. But if you let them know, you know, I'm just evaluating my role that I'm in and I'm considering a transition. Listen, that could mean a promotion. That could mean I want to move geographies. But letting the people around you know that you're considering something different and asking for their feedback. Hey, we've been friends. You know, to Deborah's point, you might have an accountability partner who can let you know, hey, did you ever think of operations? Did you ever think of? Because very often, because we don't know every job at the company, we don't know where else we might be of value and of use.
Deborah, piggybacking on this, and Meredith just reminded me of something. If you aren't doing a wholesale transition, but mm-hmm. you do want to maybe leave this company and do the same thing somewhere else, and as Meredith suggested, you are quietly looking, but within that professional community, often these communities are small. And so when you begin to search, what if your boss hears that you are searching, even if you are attempting to be discreet, holding your cards close to the vest? If your boss finds out, how do you address that?
All right, before I answer that.
I have 2 minutes.
Okay. I think that when you're reaching out to people, if you're concerned and if you're a small community, you don't go out there and say, hey, I'm looking to leave my job. You say, hey, Harold, you know, it looks really interesting mm-hmm. what you're doing. I'd love to find out more about the culture of your organization. Can you tell me what type of people thrive here? It's very important. Find out what type of people are in that are successful in that environment and what type of people are not. So you can, I think to Meredith's point, it can be exploratory. Hey, I'm looking at doing something like that. I'd love to stay in touch with you because at some point I may want to transition to a different industry to round out my portfolio of skills.
So if your boss finds out that those conversations are being had, no matter how yeah. strategic you're yeah. trying to, how do you address that?
Well, let me just say this. If you think your boss isn't having those same types of conversations in this economy, you're off base. And if they say that, you say the same thing. Yes, I've been talking to different people. As I think about where I want to take my career 5, 10 mm-hmm. years, 15 years down the road, I have an interest in expanding my skill set and contributing in this way. That doesn't mean you're ready to do that now. Anybody who's strategic is going to start early with those building blocks.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. A good place to end this conversation. Deborah Owens and Meredith Moore Crosby, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it. And for more information about both of our guests, you will be able to find it on our website on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock, including the podcast. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 1st. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.